Good morning.
Good morning.
Not able to sleep.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When we come here on Sunday morning, our sole
purpose should be to come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he's done for us. And when we do that, we need the comforter that Jesus sends, the Holy Spirit. That's what this song about is, come, Jesus, come. Come and build your throne among us. We need your holy presence here in our lives. If y'all would stand with us, we sing this song.
He was getting so into it, I said, you just gonna have to come on up here and sing it. I just look and I see one man standing ready to worship, praise the Lord, it's on. Y'all come on, stand.
I might as well stand up.
Seems like them young around. Why y'all around? Praise Jesus, what he done.
They tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds cry. Oh, they tell me of an unquiet day. Where no storm happy that he smiles on his children there, and his smiles drive their sorrows away. And they tell me those no tears ever come again in that lovely land of uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless day.
Yeah. blessings. Thank you for your presence here that we feel already. Just ask you to be with Jamie as he brings the word, and just help our hearts to be open to listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Y'all, we go through this every time I preach. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, only twice this time. Last time it was like 17 times we had to go through it. So if y'all are a visitor here, I'm Big John. I'm the pastor here. I've been going to CrossFit. And if you knew me before, look at me now. So that's what CrossFit can do for you. So for $60 a month, you can lose 200 pounds too. Now, I should, but I'm not. Dude, what's coming? No, I'm Jamie. I normally sit in the back. If you are a visitor here, I'm really not the pastor by any stretch of the imagination. I normally take 6 weeks at least in between sermons. That's kind of my rule. Like, I have to recuperate for that long between each one. And so John was preaching a revival today. Thank you all for being so willing to let him do that. Y'all know a lot of churches won't let their pastors go do stuff like that, but y'all do. And I am very, very thankful for that. And I think we should all give ourselves a hand because we love our pastor enough to let him tell people about Jesus. Give yourself a hand. I was serious. Y'all just don't know. You know, the church I used to pastor, if I missed a Sunday preaching, it was like the end of the world. They were like, we pay you to preach. It's like, actually, you don't. I kind of preach for free. It's all the other stuff that you pay me for, you know, like the 3 o'clock in the morning calls. My finger hurts. Can you come pray for me? No. No, I'm not. No, I'm just kidding. I'd pray for him, but I'd sure pray for him over the phone. But since I was preaching so close together, it was 3 weeks ago I preached, okay, I thought what I would do was preach the second part to the message I preached last time, because I thought, hey, 3 weeks, everybody would remember exactly what I preached about, right? Y'all need to stop. What did Big John preach about last Sunday? You can't say truth. That's cheating. Y'all give Brother Johnny a hand. Last time, Eddie had to give Amy $5. This time, Miss Pam, $5. You got to pay him. That's your prize. So yeah, look, we don't really always remember what the pastor preaches, but you probably remember one or two things, right? And since it's so close together, I thought, let's do the second part because the first part makes a lot more sense when you hear the second part. So what we're going to do is a quick review of the last message, okay? So just a real quick review, if you will, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to hit a couple of verses here to refresh your memory on what we talked about. And then we'll jump into the second part. I think y'all have figured out now that I like crowd participation when I preach because y'all are a lot more lively than normal, and I'm very thankful for that. Thank y'all for answering all my questions so far. There we go. That's see? Y'all are getting better. Y'all are figuring it out. All right, so the last time I preached, Mr. LG, what did I preach about? Y'all know I told you Miss Kidd always cheats. She always gives you the answer. So what did I preach about last time? Y'all are good. Thank y'all for paying attention. I appreciate that 3 weeks ago, and y'all still remember. So that's I get a little tally mark in heaven, right? To, you know, yeah, right? Y'all do. Oh, I preach so good that you remember. That's a tally mark for me. Now, that's beyond a miracle. That's like, I don't know, something. All right, no, I'm just kidding, y'all. But here's what I talked about. I talked about sonship, and this message is my favorite message, okay? This is my favorite scripture. I told y'all that the last time because a lot of times we don't see ourselves in the same light that God sees us. We see ourselves as more of his servant or his slave or whatever the case may be. We don't really see ourselves as his son or his daughter, which is what the Bible very clearly says that we are. Amen? Okay, so let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. It says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and a children also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. Y'all bow your heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the service we've already had, for Your Spirit moving in this place through the worship songs, through our kids doing the VBS, Mr. Wyman song. We thank You for everybody that's here this morning. But Lord, we thank You most importantly for Your Word and that You've given us a guidebook that we can look to and know exactly what it is that You've got for us, exactly what it is that You want from us, and that more importantly, we know that we are Your children, not Your slaves. Lord, we thank You, ask that You'd have Your way in the rest of this service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have to excuse me. It's either cough or drink a little water every now and then. So I'm going to try the water. So let's look at this scripture real quick so that we can review. It says, you have received a spirit of what? You have received a spirit of adoption. Not a spirit of slavery or a spirit of fear. Okay? How many of you at any point have been scared to death that God was going to zap you if you didn't do what He told you to do? Anybody? Let's be honest. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so a lot of us, we think, okay, God, I guess you say, called me to preach when I was 18. I remember it. I was sitting in my dorm room. I was listening to music, and I had prayed a few years before, God, I'll do anything You want me to do except preach. Okay, so I'm in my dorm room. I'm listening to this song, and you just kind of get this thing going in your head, and you're like, man, I really think that God wants me to preach. And then you kind of psych yourself out about it, and you're like, no, absolutely not. So I went and talked to my pastor, and I told him kind of what was on my mind, and, you know, he really jumped the gun. He threw me right in as a lay minister, that day, okay, set me forth as a lay minister. I went to a church in Pontotoc the next Sunday, because I was at Ole Miss, you know, the only real college in the state of Mississippi. And, amen. Amen. No booing in church. Golly, I'm talking about God's college. I'm going to take a drink of water on that one. So anyway, I went to a church in Pontotoc, and I told the guy, I was like, hey, you know, I've just been set forth as a lay minister, so if you ever need somebody to speak, let me know, right? So I leave. I'm praying. And I'm like, God, I think I've just really jumped the gun on this thing. I don't think You've called me to preach, okay? So I'm just going to back off. And these were my words, y'all. You can't make this up. I'm pulled over on the side of the road, sitting in front of the airport in Oxford. I said, Lord, You are literally going to have to call me right now on my phone and tell me You want me to preach. Y'all, as I'm standing here, my phone rang. So I look down. I'm thinking it's going to say 1-800-JESUS, you know. But I don't recognize the number, so I answer it. It's the pastor in Pontotoc. He says, I want you to preach next Sunday night. And I said, well, Lord, I don't think You can make it any more plain than that. Okay? So, now, yeah, amen. So I preached a few times for him, and then you know how things go in small churches, small denominations. Then they wanted me to be a youth pastor, so I did that for a year. Then they had a church in Grenada that needed a pastor for 3 months, so I did that for 2 years. And some of y'all caught that. Some of you didn't. They needed a fill-in for 3 months. So I did that for 2 years. Okay? And then I finally got to the place where I felt like I could step away from it. Because y'all ever come to church, you've probably been to a church, not this one, because you would never get that feeling here. But you're going to church, you just feel like you're just kind of doing it. You know, those of you who have preached before, I know you've been there. You're getting up every Sunday and you're just kind of doing it because you're supposed to. And that's where I was. And I had been praying, y'all, for almost a year. God, can I please quit? Can I please step away from this? Y'all, I was worn out. I was tired. I was teaching. I was coaching basketball. We had just had Caroline. I mean, my day went from 5 o'clock in the morning, if we had a game, till 2 or 3 o'clock the next morning because I had to watch film and all that stuff. And then you're getting right back up at 5 and doing it again. I was worn out. It got to the point where when I got to church, y'all, I would go in the little pastor's office and lock the door till it was my time to get up and preach. I wasn't even talking to anybody. Y'all, that's why I stay in the back there. Now y'all know. Because it had just gotten that bad. Okay? And so I finally felt like I could walk away from it. And so I called the overseer. I was like, look, I'm done at the end of July. They gave me a hard time, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't care. So we left. And y'all, I had more than one family member tell me I was going to hell. Because I had quit preaching. And I was outside of God's calling. More than one family member. And I said, that's fine. You know, I'm cool with that, whatever. So I started praying, because that kind of wears on you, you know. And I'm like, Lord, do I need to get back in it? So I was offered like 3 or 4 churches to pastor, 3 or 4 youth pastoring jobs. And every time I'd get that call, I'm like, okay, God, maybe this is you telling me I need to do it. Maybe I need to get back into it. But I never did. I never pulled the trigger, because there was something that was just telling me, look, just chill for a minute, just chill. And so, y'all, I was reading my Bible one day, and as I was reading my Bible, you know how you kind of hear God speak sometimes, but it's not like this, Jamie. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You just kind of have that feeling, okay? So I'm reading, and it was like, dude, why are you reading? Well, I mean, I read every day. I'm supposed to read. Well, are you reading to draw closer to me, or are you just reading? Well, I was just reading, because that's what I was supposed to do every day. And y'all, as I'm standing here, this is what came into my mind. If you're reading just to read, I'd rather you not read at all. Y'all feel me on that one? And so I didn't read for a couple of days. And I felt like the worst Christian on the face of the earth. I condemned myself to hell. Of course, my family had already done that, so that didn't help anything. Then I got a letter from the overseer saying, if you don't send your reports in, we're going to take your minister's license. Okay. You want me to mail it to you? You want to come get it? So as time went on, God really started showing me some things. Okay, and there's a reason I'm telling you this story. I'm not just trying to tell you my life story. What I started realizing was, is what I was doing in my relationship with God wasn't a relationship with all. It was just very simply something I was supposed to be doing. So I was doing it. I was doing it out of habit. I was doing it out of fear. But what did this scripture just tell us? You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into what? Fear. I asked you this question the last time I preached. And y'all gave me a really good answer. I said, if you were to never do anything for God again, would he still love you? Yes. Yes, he would. Because we know that his love is unconditional and unchanging. Look at verse 35 in Romans chapter 8. This is the scripture that we read. We said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Jump down to verse 38. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So based on that right there, is there anything, any circumstance, anything that you can go through, anybody on the face of the earth that can separate you from the love of God?
No.
Nothing. So if we're His children, and nothing can separate us from His love. If God called me to preach when I was 18 and I stopped pastoring a church and I didn't read my Bible for a couple of days, am I still good with God?
Yes.
Absolutely. So when I started reading my Bible again and I really started praying again, y'all, I wasn't doing it out of fear anymore. I was doing it out of love because I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was like a conversation I was having with somebody for the first time. Because before when I prayed, it was like, God, I paid my tithes today. Please don't get me. Lord, I went to church and preached. I hope I'm all right. Please don't let anything bad happen, Lord. I prayed for my kids today. Those were my prayers before, but my prayers became more of just a conversation. You know, Lord, what's going on, man? How's everything in heaven? I'm sure it's perfect up there. It's not really down here, but you know, thanks anyway. Thanks for letting us be down here. It's just a conversation, like I was talking to my dad. Right? And what did that scripture tell us? The same scripture we looked at a minute ago, chapter 8, verse 15. It says, we've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Y'all remember talking about that the last time? Abba means Father. So it means Father, Father, right?
Yes.
Okay, but that's not what it's saying. Because remember, Abba is that intimate word that a child would call their father. Did the Jews ever call God Abba? Y'all remember the answer? No, they didn't, because it was too intimate, right? It couldn't be that intimate with God, because only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and talk to Him, so you sure couldn't call Him Abba. But now we have permission from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when He was praying. Remember, what did He cry out?
Father.
Abba, Father, if there's any way you can take this from me, please do. And then Paul says, now we've received the spirit of adoption by whom we can cry out, Abba, Father. So when you talk to God, are you talking to some dude who's up there on a throne with a pitchfork waiting on you to do something wrong so he can stab you in the back of the head?
No.
No. Who are you talking to? Your Abba, your Father, your Daddy. Somebody who, when you're down and you're hurting, you can crawl up in His lap and say, Lord, my goodness, I can't make it anymore. Y'all know I've been going to church here for 5 years now. Can y'all believe that? 5 years. I can't believe that. I can't even believe that I did anything for 5 years. I know. My wife says amen. Y'all, the first 6 years of my teaching career, I was at six different schools. Y'all think I'm joking. I don't do anything for very long. I mean, I've been married for a while. So I expected after a couple of years to trade her in for a younger model, you know, and just never. You know. I'm just kidding. Look, if you're listening to this by radio, I was just kidding. So anyway, no, I never do anything for a long time, ever. But we've been going to church here for 5 years, okay? In that 5 years, for the first three, all I did was drive the van. And that was after we had been here for like a year. That's it. And do anything else. I wasn't involved in any kind of ministry, nothing like that. Is that okay? Absolutely. Okay? So after that, then I got involved in the sound booth. Me and Bert got to be friends, and he said, hey, look, you know, we have a need for somebody to kind of help administratively with Sunday school. Would you mind stepping in there? And so I stepped in there. Now, I'm not telling you that to say, look at what I'm doing. I'm telling you that to say this. Sometimes God knows you need a break. Will He give you a break?
Yes.
Absolutely. Because you're His child, right? When your child needs a break, do you give them a break? Are you like, no, go cut that tree down now, young man. Don't care if you're tired, pick that chainsaw up. I know you're only 3 years old, but do it anyway. Come on, what do? You know, we give our kids a break because we love them, right? Does God love us? So I'm going to ask you this one more time. Is He up there with a pitchfork waiting to stab you in the back of the head when you do something wrong?
No,
He's not. Now that we've reviewed the message, I can preach. This would normally be the time I would ask you what time it was, but I was told not to ask what time it was anymore, so I'm not going to ask what time it is. This is where you tell me what time it is. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all got to know, when I say stuff like that, I am so totally joking, okay? I'm not worried about the time. I have this inner clock that says, shut up. Okay? So when it says shut up, you'll hear me say, all right, y'all bow your heads and let's pray. All right, turn over to James chapter 1. Y'all, let's have a good time this morning, okay? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I like learning, but I like having a good time while I'm learning. James chapter 1. This second part of the message is the part of the message that normally when people hear this preach, it freaks them out. Okay? This is where when you find somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and you start talking to them about Him, this is the scripture that they're going to bring up and say, see, the Bible contradicts itself. And if it contradicts itself, I don't want any part of it. And so we're going to look at it, and I'm going to show you exactly how what James is saying lines up perfectly with what Paul says in Romans. Okay? Y'all ready? Y'all got your seatbelts buckled? You don't have a seatbelt. Come on now. It's like a school bus. All right. I'm just kidding. James chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does." Y'all, these verses throw people off. Because James is saying, if you don't have good works, what do you not have? You don't have faith. But now Paul just said that we've been saved by God's grace. He tells us in Ephesians that we're not saved by works. Right? But now James is saying, you got to have good works. And this is what throws people off. So what we're going to look at is how in the world do these two things go together? Because they do go perfectly together, because the Bible does not contradict itself. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. So here's what James is telling us. He's saying you can't be a hearer of the word. In other words, you can't be a tourist. Okay? Y'all know when you're a tourist, you go to the town, and what do you do? What do you do? If I had my phone, I'd get it out. This is what you do. Look at me, man. I'm in front of the Washington Monument. Snapchat. Instagram, Facebook. What else do you put stuff on?
MySpace.
Twitter. MySpace. MySpace still exists? Whoa. I thought that was like your space now or something. I thought it was gone. Okay, so we put our pictures on there, right? When you're a tourist and you're visiting somewhere, you try to see everything that you can see while you're there. Have y'all never gone on vacation somewhere? Oh my goodness. You go to vacation, you take pictures the whole time you're there because you're a tourist. So what James is saying is you can't be a tourist of the word. You can't just come to church and... Jamie said turn to James chapter 1. Okay. Boom! That's it. I heard it, now let's move on. What James is saying is you have to be a doer of the word. In other words, don't be a tourist, be a gold miner. Be somebody who really gets down there in the dirt and the muck and works hard and finds that little nugget of gold, right? In other words, you've got to get into the Bible to hear what God is telling you. And when you do that, He's going to put it on your heart. Hey, look, I really need you to step up and dust these bushes on the stage because they're really dusty. They really are. If y'all don't believe me, there you go. See, the dust made the microphone go off. Okay? So as you get into the Word, some of y'all are like, did it really? Oh my gosh, that's crazy. No, they're really not dusty bad. So he's saying, y'all, when you get into the Word, you can't just listen to what it's saying. You have to do it. You have to do it. Now, let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, real quick. It says, "Little children, we must not love with word or speech, but with truth and action." Now let's look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through 32. Matthew 21, verse 28 through 32. It says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'My son, go work in the vineyard today.' And his son answered, 'I don't want to.' Yet later he changed his mind and went. Then the man went to the other and said the same thing. 'I will, sir,' he answered, but he didn't go. Which of the two did his father's will?" Which of the two did his father's will? Don't cheat. The first one. So the first one totally disrespects his father. His father says, "Go clean your room." I know it says go to the vineyard, but let's, you know, be realistic. I don't think anybody here has a vineyard. If you do, sorry. But he says, "Go clean your room." And the kid's like, "No! Forget you, man. I'm going outside." See, she said no. She don't want to clean her room. I understand, totally. "No, I'm not going to go clean my room." And then a little while later, what's the kid do? They go clean their room, but they've disrespected their father, remember? So the second son respects his father by saying, "Yes, absolutely, I'll go clean my room." But does he ever go do it? Y'all ever had a kid not, you know, tell you they clean your room and then you go check like 3 hours later and it still looks exactly the way it did when you walked in there and told them to clean it? No, just me. I'm the only one who has trouble getting my kids to clean their room. Okay, thank you. So, he says, y'all, which son actually did what the father wanted him to do? The first one. Then he says this, I assure you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. Tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, but you, when you saw it, didn't even change your minds then and believe him. Do y'all hear what Jesus says? If y'all have the little Bibles with it in red, that's in red. Jesus said that, okay? He says, tax collectors and prostitutes, they were like the two lowest people on the totem pole back then. They're entering the kingdom of heaven before you, you religious people, you people who do everything that the law commands you to do. But these tax collectors and prostitutes are going to heaven before you are. Why? Because they weren't a hearer of the word, they were a doer of the word. So watch this, y'all. They didn't just walk up front to the church and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I'd like to be saved. And the pastor says, well, just repeat after me. And they repeat it after the pastor, and they walk out, the same person they came in, and they live the rest of their life the same person they were before they prayed that prayer. Y'all with me so far? Y'all with me? The tax collectors and the prostitutes, when they heard what Jesus said, they totally changed their life. They changed everything about themselves because they formed a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus said, go, they went. They might not have wanted to. I didn't want to become a preacher. And it, you know, it took me a little bit to finally decide I was going to take a phone call from God to decide I was going to do it. Okay? Y'all with me so far? Okay, now we're going to get into the funny part. Turn back to James chapter 2. Sorry, I got all these little funny things in my Bible I have to turn past. James chapter 2, verse 14. Says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. Y'all with me? Yes. Good, good. There's only three people asleep, so we're doing good. We're doing good. Only three. Normally it's eight, so we're plus five today. Thank y'all for that. All right. Some of y'all are looking around to find out who's asleep. All right, so he says, can you have faith without works? And what's the answer?
No.
You can't. Okay, now that's what throws people off, right? But wait a minute. Paul said I was saved by faith, not by works. But now this is saying if I don't have works, I don't have faith. So how does that work out? Okay, anybody confused yet? Good, good, good. We're going to get you unconfused in a minute. This is what he says, okay? You have these real religious people who come to church every Sunday. They sit on the same pew. You'll know those people, right? Like when a visitor comes to the church and they sit in their seat and they look at him like, you must be new here. Don't you see my butt imprint on that seat? Does it not feel uncomfortable? I'm so much bigger than you are. I know you're sliding in the middle of my butt imprint. And the dude's like, I'm so sorry, man. I didn't know. I just thought it was, you know, sorry. And they get up and move, right? Y'all know those people, the real religious ones? The first one to stand up and raise their hands in the church. And like, that's nobody here. But I went to a church one time, y'all. This is a true story, honest to goodness. I went to a church. Preacher was preaching, man. It was a really good message. And this dude would say amen over here. Mr. LG would say amen. And then Coach Curry over here would say amen a little bit louder. And so LG would say it a little louder, so Coach Curry would say it louder. Then LG would say it louder, Coach Curry would say it louder. The whole entire service, that's what they did. Then the dude got up and ran around the church. So the other guy was like, oh no, You ain't finna run around church before I do. So he started running around church the other way. Because I guess God told him to. I don't know. Okay? But y'all know those people, right? Those real religious ones who they gotta, everybody's gotta know they love Jesus. But James says they see somebody without clothes and they walk up and they say, "Be blessed, my brother. Hope everything works out for you." And then they walk off. Do they actually have faith? No, because if they did and they saw somebody that needed clothes, what would they do? They'd go get them a shirt. Have y'all seen that video of the guy who walks up to the homeless guy? He doesn't have a shirt or anything. And he walks over to him. He talks to him for a minute. He ends up giving him, I think he had gone to the store or something. He gives him his food. He takes his shirt off. And he gives him his shirt. And then he prays for him. And he walks off and leaves. Y'all, that's a real popular video. If you haven't seen it, look it up. I guess it's called Dude That Gives Dude His Shirt. I don't know. Just look it up. But it's a really good video. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's what James is saying. If you really have faith, that means you have a relationship with me. And if you really have a relationship with me, that means that you love people like I love people. So in other words, when you see somebody that needs something, you don't walk by them with your head up and say, "Be blessed," and keep walking, because you know they need something from Him. Now watch this. I'm finna get you now. That means you walk by somebody who is dressed up like a woman, but they're really a man. Gotcha. And when you see them, you know, "Oh my gosh, you know, what is he doing? How can you see it? Oh my goodness, what are they thinking?" That is just, turn your eyes, don't look. Okay? That means you walk by that person and God says, "Look, I need you to speak into their heart today." And you walk over there and do it. You see, because when you have a relationship with Christ, that's the kind of stuff He's going to ask you to do. But He's not going to put you in a bad position. If a guy is homeless and he's really a murderer, God's not going to say, "Hey, go pick him up and take him down the road. It's all going to be fine." Right? He's not going to tell you to do that. So that's where people get it messed up in their mind. What James is saying is this. Y'all, please listen. If you've got somebody that has a need and you keep walking by, you really don't have a relationship with Christ at all. But if you feel compassion for that person and you do something to help that person, you really do have a relationship with me. Because that's what I was all about when I was here. Now, there's a chapter in Matthew, chapter 25. Y'all look it up later. We're not going to read it right now, but y'all write it down. Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46. And in this scripture, this is what it says. There are two lines of people. And in this line, Jesus says, "Hey, well done, my good and faithful servants, because you saw me naked and you gave me clothes. You saw me hungry and you gave me food. You saw me in prison and you visited me. You saw me sick and you helped me. You gave me medicine." And then he walks over to the other line and he says, "Y'all, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you, because you saw me sick and you didn't help me. You saw me naked and you kept on walking. You saw me hungry and you didn't help me." And they look at him and go, "Well, wait, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We preached about you. Y'all fill in the blank. I taught Sunday school every Sunday. I had my butt imprint on that first pew because that's where I sat every Sunday. I worshiped you. I raised my hands. I ran around the church. I was really loud. What are you talking about?" And Jesus looks back and he says, "Get away from me because I never knew you." In other words, I never had a relationship with you. You never had a relationship with me. You were doing what you were doing out of habit because you were scared to death that if you didn't, you'd go to hell. And because you were scared to death and you were just doing it out of habit, I never knew you. Are y'all with me on that? Man, that's a tough scripture. That's a tough scripture. Really tough. Let's look at verse 18. He says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you faith from my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works faith was perfected. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So my question to you is this. Are you dead or are you alive? Are you dead or are you alive? Do you feel compassion for people when they're in need? Do you feel a need to serve in your local church or in your community? When you see people hurting, do you know that you need to move and do something to help them? Or are you on the other side of the spectrum? You feel no compassion for anybody. Well, they're homeless. They should have got a job like I did. Well, I don't care if they're hungry or not. She shouldn't have had 12 kids. Y'all see what I'm saying? So which one are you? Are you dead or are you alive? So Rahab and Abraham showed their faith through their works. So how do you know if you have a relationship with Christ? Because you're doing for Him all the time and you're not doing it intentionally. You understand what I'm saying? You're not doing it out of fear. In other words, you're not saying, okay, I've got to go do this because that's what I'm supposed to do. You're doing it because you love Him. You just love Him. And you walk by somebody and you talk to them and you're not doing it to like throw Jesus down their throat. You're just doing it because you love Jesus, man. You just want to tell somebody about it. You understand what I'm saying? So y'all, when you have a relationship with Christ, a relationship with Christ, that relationship is going to show itself through good works. You're not saved by good works. You're saved by His grace and what He did for us on the cross. And there's not a doggone thing you can do to make it better or worse. Your good will never outweigh your bad because one bad is bad. It's the blood of Christ alone that saves you. But that relationship is shown through good works, through doing things for Him when He puts it on your heart. So normally when you hear this message preached, that's where it ends. The pastor says, now go and do. But they never like really tell you exactly what you can do. And so we're going to look at that real quick. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. They're going to be up there. I'd say they're on your outline, but you don't have one. So when we have a love relationship with Christ, here's just a few things. This is not everything, but here's a few things that God might put on your heart to do. Number one, and these are just in order of where they appear in the Bible. There's no order of this is the most important and this is the least important. Okay? So it says, take care of the poor. Visit those in prison. Take care of the sick. That's from the scripture we referenced just a minute ago, Matthew 25. He says, to give generously and joyfully in 2 Corinthians 9. And y'all, that's one that kind of gets us sometimes. Give generously and joyfully. He tells us in that scripture that if you give, I'm going to bless you. Does that mean if you give 100, you're going to get 1,000? Not necessarily, but you might be blessed in another way. Okay? I've told y'all stories before. I mean, let's go to yesterday. We had a yard sale yesterday, okay? And I don't want to, you know, let y'all on all my business, but when I left my previous school district to come to Grenada, they failed to tell me that they had to charge me for all my insurance until February. And so my check was, I don't even think you could classify it as a check when it came in. It was so low. And I'm like, whoa, something ain't right. And so when I called her and asked her what the deal was, she said, yeah, I guess I should have told you, huh? You think? Because now we like can't eat. So we've been eating grass all month. And in July, we normally save a certain amount of money to go shopping to get Caroline's shoes and clothes for school, right? Everybody has to do that. School supplies, all that. And we have a certain amount of money that we know it's going to take to get it all. Okay? And so we're kind of looking around going, how are we going to buy the stuff? You know, we don't do credit cards at our house. You know, my wife calls me Dave, not Dave Walters, but Dave Ramsey. Okay? Because we're not going in debt. That's not happening. Okay? So, it's like, how are we going to do it then? How are we going to buy this stuff? So we decided to have a yard sale because we had like six people's attics full of stuff. Because when you have a first kid and they're the only grandkid, every person in the extended family thinks they need every shirt they see in Walmart or wherever they are. Okay, so we had a yard sale. We had a number in mind. This is how much money we're going to need to buy these clothes, right? Y'all, as I'm standing here, the amount of money we made yesterday to the dollar was the number that we had in mind that we needed. Now, if that's not God, right there. You can't outgive God. You can't. Now, my check was short this month, so what did I pay my tithes on? The short check or what I normally pay? What I normally pay. Gotcha. What I normally pay. Because you can't outgive God. Man, no, you can't outgive God. The church's bills aren't going away. Right? You can't outgive God. Okay? Now, the next one in 1 Thessalonians, we're told to pray continuously. Everybody knows that one, right? We pray. The next one in 1 Timothy, be an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And y'all, that's one we need to look at. Be an example in speech. Everywhere you go, you should be an example of Jesus Christ in your speech and your conduct. In other words, how you act, how you present yourself in love and faith and purity. Then the next one, I think, is on the next slide. Read the Word and teach others. The very next verse in 1 Timothy, he tells Timothy to read the Word and exhort that Word. Okay, in other words, teach people about the Bible, right? So that's what we're supposed to do. Does that mean you have to preach or be a Sunday school teacher? No, it does not. Not by any stretch of the imagination. In James chapter 1, we're told to look after the orphans and widows. Y'all, we did that at VBS. We collected all that stuff. Miss Sarah, her sister, and their family took it, Thursday, I believe it was, over to Water Valley. Said it was a couple of years' worth of stuff for them. Okay? So that's taking care of the orphans. And then we're told, and I did save this one for last intentionally, Matthew 28, we're told that if we have a relationship with Christ, we should be discipling other believers. Now, what does discipling mean? Meeting them once a week for lunch and talking about the Bible? Absolutely not. It means getting in their life. It means when they call you at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, I'm struggling, I need your help, you answer the phone and you talk to them. Okay? It means that they don't have anywhere to go. You say, hey, come on in. We got a couch, man. I got an extra bed, whatever. You can stay here with us. That's what discipling is. So when is the discipling process over? When they're ready to disciple somebody else, when they're equipped to disciple somebody else, yeah, we're still with them, right? We're still helping them. But at that point, we can back off. And then what do? Our job's done, right? No, that's right. It's not. Because then we intentionally go find somebody else to disciple. Okay? So what I want you guys to think about, the title of this message is So What Now? Okay, I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm a co-heir with Christ. I know that whatever He has, I have. I know that if I don't do anything for God again, He'll still love me. But now I know that if I don't do anything for God again, I probably really didn't love Him in the first place. So I need to be doing something for God. So we say, okay, so what do I do now? Okay? So our next slide can tell you very clearly what you can do now. And I'm sorry if you can't see it. We had to put it in 30-point font so that it would fit on the screen. Because it won't let you do two columns. But here are just some of the ministries at Christ Community Church. Okay? Just some of them. And I promise you, you fit in somewhere up here on this screen. Somewhere. And if you don't, but God has put another ministry on your heart, hey, I'd like you to start such and such ministry. Then that's where you talk to Big John and you get it going. Okay? Because we were not made to come to church, sit here, and go home. And then come to church, sit here, and go home over and over. We were made to show the love of Christ in everything that we say and do. And we do that through ministry. Will you go to hell if you don't join the ministry? Absolutely not. But will somebody get saved and not go to hell if you do? Probably so. Okay? If y'all will bow your heads, let's pray. Let's just talk to Jesus for a minute. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I know this is a tough message because we like the easy way. We like the I'm your kid, I don't have to do anything way. But we know that a good son doesn't sit there and do nothing. We know that a good son does what his father asks of him because we love you. So God, I ask that for everybody in this room right now, maybe there's one or two people, maybe it's everybody, that has something on their heart that they know, hey, look, I need to be doing this for you. I pray that you would move upon them, God. Give them the opportunities to do those things, God, but not to do it out of fear, to do it out of love. God, for some in here, they're just in a time of rest right now. You just want them to rest. Just rest and take some time with you. And I pray that you would put that on their hearts. God, I pray that you would move in each and every one of us and help us to draw closer to you each day. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If the ushers will come. And Mr. Ron, you going to play anything or you want them to play something? Okay, y'all got it? So I'm going to give you an opportunity to join in one of the ministries that was on the board already, and that's the giving ministry. We're asked to give 10%. I know some people say that's Old Testament, but if you read the New Testament, it's not just the Old Testament. We are asked to tithe, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, so pay your taxes too. So what you can do is pay your tithes and your taxes to the church. The IRS will come calling. Move to Mexico. I'm just kidding. Lord, we thank you again for this morning. And I just ask that you would put on everybody's heart what to give. God, if all they have is a penny, praise God. Lord, if they have more, praise God. But you know the needs of the church, and you know that every dime that's given here is going to go to further your kingdom. We're not going to waste any of it. And I thank you for each person. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just doesn't take that long to take up the offering. I'm all out of jokes. I've told them all. I got nothing. Just listen to this beautiful music. Some of you continue to meditate as you've been the entire service. I got you. This is that awkward moment where everybody's looking at you like, when are you going to talk? You're just standing there looking back. They got like three more rows. We're good. We are good. There we go. We got the sound booth. We're good. All right. Y'all, I pray that something in this message today maybe spark something within you to go, you know what? I really have been sitting here for a while. Maybe God does want me to get involved. We have a lot of things that you can get involved in here at Christ Community. But I want you to understand once again, y'all, Jesus loves you no matter what. Okay? The way we show Him we love Him back is by furthering His kingdom. Okay? So I know Miss Suzanne has a couple things to say. So when she's done, we'll say ready, break. And I'm going to say, I love you. And thank you for letting Big John be your pastor.
It's on? Okay. I have the Grenada Police Department and Grenada Sheriff's Department banners that we're doing in lieu of a card. And if you weren't here last week, please sign them. They're out on tables in the foyer. We have one for the Sheriff's Department, one for the Police Department. And secondly, baby McCrory, Ethan Lee McCrory, arrived Friday night. So here's the need. Perfect application to our sermon this morning. We're going to need to provide meals for Brent and Lauren and the kids, the two little girls. And so please see me. It will be great. They live out on Lake Ridge Road, Tammy just told me. If you don't know where that is, we'll find a way to have you bring the food here, and somebody will get it out to them where they live. So
I can get it to them.
Okay, you can get it to them. Okay. All right. Great deal. So please see me. We would like to provide about a week of meals for them. Tammy, are you still there? Did she move? She walked out. Okay. I don't know if there's any food allergies or anything like that, but I'll know that after I talk to Tammy. So please see me. We like to provide these meals when the new baby comes home because it's easier that they don't have to cook. So, and let's see. Families that we've helped in this way, Keisha's over here profusely nodding her head, yes. And I know Brittany and Eric, right? Yes? Yes. Okay, so that's one of our ministries that we do. Thank you.
That's the Tabitha ministry.
Right. Tabitha ministry. There you go. You can get involved in one right now. If we're delivering the stuff to them, steak is good. Steak is good. And I promise at least half will get to them. All right. Y'all, thank you. I love you. I do love you. And I'm going to say thank you again for letting Big John be your pastor. And y'all pray for him. He's in revival, I think, through Wednesday. So just pray that God would move. Have a wonderful day, a great week. I'd say get out, but what would we normally say? Ready, break.